Hello, this is Charles Shepard of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about Hilla Rebay, the spirited artist and curator who championed the cause of abstract art in America and led the founding of the Guggenheim Museum. Born a European baroness, Hildegard Anna Augusta Elizabeth Rebay von Erwinweisen grew up a privileged child in a close family of sufficient wealth and social standing to permit her to do exactly as she pleased. Young Hilla's parents rewarded her early efforts in painting and drawing with private art instruction, and as soon as she reached her teens, they packed her off for Paris, where she began her art studies in earnest. In Paris, Hilla was surrounded by people who proclaimed to be living exclusively for art and eager to share their vision. Under the sway of such passionate talk, she wrote to a friend, announcing that she was devoting her life to art, whatever personal anguish it might bring. Of course, considering the unlimited support of her parents, those moments of anguish were infrequent. An ocean of art lay before her, and Hilla dove headlong into the strong currents of European modernism. She befriended everyone, buying paintings from every up-and-coming artist. Hilla moved to New York City in 1927 and found it to be a great wild city with myriad dimensions. Her parents' monthly checks didn't stretch as far in Manhattan, though, and she complained to friends that New York is terribly expensive. I starve often enough as I make my way in the art world. Hilla's struggling days, though, passed quickly as American art buyers linked her paintings to the latest trend in Europe and began collecting her work. In short order, Hilla had become a reasonably well-established artist who was a charming guest at the cocktail parties of New York society. Hilla's artistic interests, energy, and good breeding made her an exceptionally good companion and an unusually attractive woman. None of this was lost on wealthy industrialist Salomon Guggenheim, who thought she was as brilliant as beautiful. He bought her paintings, sought her advice on the works of other artists, and organized a European tour for Hilla, himself, and his wife to purchase the new art that Hilla believed to be important. This new work, which she called non-objective painting, had no actual subject matter whatsoever, other than color and form, and as such, it was the beginning of the art for art's sake movement. As soon as the threesome returned, Solomon and Hilla began to dream about building a temple for non-objective art. Solomon, for his part, established the Guggenheim Foundation to fund the creation of the museum. Of course, he made sure the foundation rewarded Hilla handsomely as its director so that she could live easily and elegantly. Hilla aggressively pursued the interests of the fledgling Guggenheim Museum, creating the collection single-handedly and playing a crucial role working with Frank Lloyd Wright to create a building she believed would be worthy of the Guggenheim collection. But her sharp tongue, strong opinions, and attentiveness to the professional and personal interests of her benefactor did nothing to endear her to many in the art world, and most all members of the Guggenheim family. Solomon Guggenheim realized this, and when he learned that he had cancer, he added a letter to his will requesting that, since Hilla has put the foundation on the map, it is my wish that she be provided with enough financial support and assistance to enable her to continue doing the good things for which she's so gifted. After Solomon's death, however, the foundation came under the influence of many other members of the family, and Hilla was immediately dismissed. When the museum was completed, Hilla Rebay, its founder and muse, was not even invited for the opening and never set foot in the museum she helped create. Hilla was disheartened and outraged. Embittered, she retreated from public life and spent her last years in her estate in Westport, Connecticut. Only 30 years later did the art world and the Guggenheim Foundation acknowledge her significant role in defining this major institution. Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepard, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.